Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Good morning, Canada, or afternoon, depending on which time zone you're in. We've been in this time zone time warp here for the whole day. I said that we don't change our clocks, we only change our time zone. And then Derek Myers just crapped all over that idea. He's like, no, we're in this UCT or whatever he wants to call it. I don't even know.
I didn't quite understand.
No, I didn't either. So for me, we hold hands with Alberta and we're on Mountain Time half the year. And then we hold hands like we are now with our friends in Winnipeg and we're on Central Time because that's what people know. So 10 a.m. to noon Central Time now for the rest of the year. Or as we know, 5 to 7 p.m. in Norway, right? 5 till 7. That's what we know. So welcome to the program here for hour two. If you missed any of hour one, it's on the podcast at rodpeterson.com/podcast. Or you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio, and all the rest. We had Sean Lemon join us in hour one. BC Lions defensive lineman got into the Devon Claybrooks thing, and he is now our new CFL analyst for the playoffs. He wants to be on, wants to do it, and he does a great job breaking down the game. So we got a good look at the two East and West semifinals today, which is great. Let's update our poll question, Clark, for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Poll question today has to do with CFL playoff games. It came up on Twitter last night. The games are on Sundays, and some people are upset that they're going head-to-head with the NFL. Right now, 57% of our respondents say that the game should be played on Saturdays, 42.9% saying the game should be played on Sundays. Ratings were down last year in the playoffs with the games on Sundays, but these, you know, Kelly mentioned they tried putting them on Saturdays, I think back as far as 2008, and that didn't work out either. So tough, really tough. What do you guys think in terms of when we should be playing these games? Because I'm going to watch regardless.
Yeah.
But it is tough going against that heavy NFL market right at the times. I think those games are at 12 o'clock Central Time is the first one, and 3:30 is the West final or semi.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I'm going to watch the CFL. This is the important time of the year. It's the playoffs, and you know, you've seen my setup. I'll have a couple TVs going, watching the other stuff too, with another eye. But you know, CFL is the most important thing right now for the next couple of weeks, so I'll be watching.
You're not following Smitty on social media. It's an amazing setup. You really should hire yourself out to set everybody else's up.
Well, that was my wife. You know, when I got sick, she thought, you know what, I'm going to set a couple of TVs up for him.
So. Happy birthday to her, by the way.
Absolutely, yeah.
You going to celebrate tonight?
Yeah, oh yeah, Billy Minor Pie tonight for sure. Oh, we're going to the keg.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you guys have the best time. That's great.
Thank you.
Sorry, Pete, your thoughts.
Sunday games, I mean, that's the tradition I think of, right? I remember watching some of the biggest CFL playoff games on Sunday with my family. That's when everybody would come over. You would come over, obviously, to see each other, but specifically to watch some playoff football on Sunday. So historically, I appreciate that. And just like you said, I would watch it no matter what over the NFL. But that's because I'm more of a CFL guy. And you know what? I don't know how many people that like both leagues would necessarily just pick the NFL over the CFL. They're the traditional people that say, oh, the CFL is an inferior league and they watch the NFL anyway.
Of course.
Right? So, but thinking about it from an attendance perspective, maybe it is a good idea to do on Saturdays, especially because for in the case of the Riders, a lot of fans traveling from far and wide. It maybe would have worked out this year because you have Remembrance Day the following day, so maybe not everybody's working on the Monday. But if you have it on a Saturday, you probably get a boost in attendance. And everybody's been complaining about attendance and getting to games. Having it on a Saturday makes more of a weekend out of it, and it lets people travel. So I think it's something they might want to look at, but I still think, you know, Sunday, it's the traditional way.
Yeah. For sure. And again, we'll be watching either way, but you can have your say on our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center at rodpeterson.com, here on the Facebook feed or on our Twitter feed at Rod Peterson Show. Now, Pete, you're from CBC Regina. You're hosting the morning edition today. I saw you were bright and early. That's
4 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, there's no sun even in the near future at 4 a.m. when you wake up at that time. But I loved it, and I loved the you know, the conversation you had about biggest driving pet peeves, and especially in Saskatchewan right now and Alberta with the snow that's been falling and the icy road conditions, I mean, it floods our Facebook walls and our Twitter feeds, right, and our Instagram feeds with people complaining about driving. But what are some of the hot ones that came up this morning when it comes to driving pet peeves?
Well, actually, one I had to correct myself on because my early morning brain couldn't comprehend it was somebody, of course, talking about how nobody understands the zipper merge. Right? That's been a problem in Regina and Saskatoon for how
everywhere.
Long? And I've always been a supporter of the zipper merge, but I actually mistakenly said, don't be the one that goes to the front of the line and pushes the way in. It's like, no, that is exactly what the zipper merge is. So even I couldn't comprehend it as I was describing it. That's one. Yes, go to the front. Everybody take their turns. Another one was, of course, nobody in Regina seems to stop when they're turning right on a stop sign or a red light. That's one as a pedestrian in downtown Regina every day that I'm always looking in the eyes of the driver, because even though I know this will stop, they never do. Yeah. They never do. I've almost been hit so many times with right-hand turns. For me, this time of year, people don't know what lanes are anymore, right? No. They don't know which road is. Every road is pretty much one lane when it comes to winter.
That's a huge topic of conversation in the winter, because you get like the lanes and they're painted on, that's fine. But then you almost have like the winter lanes and they're different, and it becomes the tire tracks. And you get some people who think the lanes got to be the lanes. Yeah. And I've kind of always been a little bit in that way. Like, okay, wait, no, there's supposed to be three lanes here, people. What are we doing?
Yeah, but
now I start thinking maybe the safe thing to do is no. Like, everybody's driving on the winter lanes. Like, we should be driving in the winter lanes where everybody's driving. Like, all being on the same page, right? Yeah.
I just can't stand the speed freshly fallen snow, and then you get some idiot, you know, going crazy. We were at coming home the other day on Arcola. And this guy went by me, and I couldn't believe it. It was fast for if he was in the summer. And then, of course, he started to swerve, fishtail, and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, you idiot. You know, what's wrong with you? Like, how can you do that? You know, obviously, you know, you're going to get to where you need to go. Just slow down, man. Just take it easy.
I'm with you. No. And I know that's one that came up on the show this morning for you, Peter, was drivers driving too slow. It happens with the ring road, the circle drive, or any of the freeways, driving too slow. And that's a pet peeve in ideal conditions. Yeah. I think, you know, that shouldn't be a pet peeve when there's even if the roads are dry, but there's a hint that they might be icy.
Yeah.
It's always better to slow down. Mine is the four-way stops. And this has always been in my head. You just always think whoever comes there first goes first. Yeah. It's not always the case, right? It doesn't always mean who gets there first, because when the one side goes, it doesn't matter if I got here before you. It matters who's got the right-of-way. The person going straight should always go before the person that turns. Mm-hmm. And it's always, I got here a second before you did, but we both waited for the cross traffic to go. So I'm going to turn in front of you, then you're going to go straight. It slows everybody down. Yeah. That one drives me nuts. I wish makes me want to get out an orange vest and a whistle and go in the middle of the four-way stop and start directing traffic, right?
So I'd love to see you do that someday.
Yeah. So that's my pet peeve. We're going to go out to Winnipeg soon. Troy Westwood's going to join us from TSN Radio, the former Winnipeg Blue Bomber. I don't know if he's going to be in his bedroom this week or not. Last time he was on with Mike Abumetric in that chair, and Abu recognized the gold headboard away, which I don't know why or how he possibly did that.
How does that happen?
Yeah, exactly. Dave Spatafora on the Facebook wall says, as a transit employee, I have many great stories to tell, I'm sure you do. I'm sure that you do. But Pete, the podcast, Meet the Riders podcast, that thing's been exploding and growing like crazy. And you have some great conversations on the podcast. But what's been your favorite so far this year?
It is literally like picking your favorite child.
I know.
Isn't it, right? Because there's something in every interview that I really enjoy. The one that really kind of blew me away was Lucchese Purefoy.
Oh.
Because like notoriously a lot of people have said, oh, he's not a great talker. And even I've did a lot of research on him and listened to some of the past interviews. And sometimes he gives shorter answers. But I feel like maybe he was just in the right mood that day. He really opened up to me about his experience with his mom. So his mom needed a kidney for years when he was playing in the NFL and at the University of Florida. He offered to donate his kidney to his mom, which would have meant he wouldn't be able to play football. And she specifically said, no, I don't want your kidney. I want you to keep chasing your dreams. And she wouldn't take her kid's kidney.
Wow.
And then, when he was at the Colts, the NFL, she got a donor and just totally changed his life.
That's a cool story.
Yeah, it was really great that he opened up about that. And he also gave me a bit of a tidbit. Speaking of Troy Westwood coming up, of course, talking about the Blue Bombers. He was not a big fan of Blue Bombers fan because I asked him about some of the chirps he was taking on Twitter from some fans. And I said, did you not feel very welcome in Winnipeg? And he just came out before I even finished the question and said, they're not welcome here either. So,
wow. Yeah,
he was pretty fired up about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers fans and said maybe fans should stick to being fans and not break down football.
Unbelievable. That's crazy. Yeah, and with Winnipeg potentially coming in here for a West final after what we went there last year for the semifinal, and Brandon,
they came here
and they took care of business. Brandon Bridge couldn't lead us to victory in that game, but now Zach Collaros might get a chance to play in a playoff game at Mosaic Stadium.
Life is full of ironies. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
Yeah. That's wild. Absolutely wild. So that's interesting. What about, you know, got another good one?
Yeah, well, I mean, looking back on Dan Clark, now a CFL All-Star, a nominee for Outstanding Offensive Lineman. I mean, of course, in the episode, we had to talk about his crash this summer and just how incredible it was that he was able to return to the football field. And I think most people know that story a little bit. So I talked to him more about what was it like with your family? You know, what was it like to see your family members come to your bedside in the hospital? And, you know, that obviously had a huge effect on him. I think it really motivated him this year, too. You know, he talked about what it was like to hug his daughter. And she, you know, what it's like when your daughter says, is daddy okay?
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with football anymore, right? But it obviously was a huge motivator for him. And Dan's always a great talker, too, so we had a lot of fun as well.
Dan's a great kid. Yeah. I love him, you know. Evidently, his seatbelt broke.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
And then he got ejected.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, how lucky are you? Yeah, holy cow! Kidding.
Right.
Yeah. And then he's got an all-star.
He's got an all-star season.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Unbelievable. You've been spending a lot of time around this team, and this team has really come together. Where do you guys, both of you, put this Rider team in terms of all-time great Rider teams? Because it's the first time since 09 they've been, you know, first in the West. Only the second time since 76. What is it? First time since 77 they've had 13 wins. And since that time, there's been more Grey Cup victories than there has been first place finishes. 3-2. Does this team enter the conversation of great Rider teams of all time? It doesn't feel like the best, maybe. We're not flexing our muscles. It may not be the most all-star-studded group of individuals, but as a team, they've really come together.
They certainly have. I don't think I don't think you can put that on them just yet. You know, obviously, they've got some work to do. Mm-hmm. But what a hell of a team this is. And, I mean, right from way back, you know, when Cody, that first game against Ottawa, I mean, this is fantastic quarterbacking. And then Dominic Davis is doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, is it going to keep on going? It did. It continued. You know, the kid kept on playing. Now, again, I've been on the show and I've said this before. You take a look, where's the weakness on this team? I mean, they've, you know, right across the board, you name it, they're solid. I got a little partialness to the 2013 team.
Yes.
You know, obviously.
Of course.
It's incredible, you know, what we had there and you know, the all the stars. But you go back to, I watched the 66 Grey Cup and you know, how can you, Ronnie and George.
I know.
Al Ford, all these guys. I mean, it's, everyone has their own, you know, goodness. And it's a pretty darn good time of year for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders right now.
Well, it sure is. We'll get back into this in a little bit because I don't want Troy Westwood to hang up the phone having to listen to us talk about greatest Rider teams of all time and Lancaster and George Reed and all these great players. But we welcome in Troy Westwood from TSN in Winnipeg. He's back in the bedroom, and we thank you for joining us again here, Troy. Rod's not here. He's in Texas. But you got me, Peter Mills, and Craig Smith, and the first thing I wanted to talk to you about was not the football game, but I wanted to talk about the hockey, and your tweet was a subject of conversation for us in hour one. You said just simply Patrick Laine or Matthew Tkachuk, and I picked Matthew Tkachuk. 9 goals, 9 assists. He's having a great season, a couple of great overtime games, and what is Patrick at now? 3 goals on the season after, you know, a bit of a hot start. What's going on in Winnipeg?
Well, it's interesting, man, because overall he's got 3 goals and 11 assists for 14 points in 14 games. I believe he's the he's clipping along at. So he's been hacked on in the past for not being enough of a playmaker or being very one-dimensional. So I don't have a problem at all with. I don't care if a guy gets goals or assists, right? They both essentially need to happen to put the numbers on the scoreboard that you want. But I mean, even in a larger sense, I know Patrick Laine is gifted as a goal scorer and has that shot that very often you'll hear, like Paul Maurice saying, one of the top three shots he's ever seen and yada, yada. But boy, Matthew Tkachuk and the game that he brings to the table, the level of sandpaper, the 200-foot thing. And man, I just love his game. And I think I asked the question the last year, it might even been the year previous to that, if right now, if you could grab one of these two guys to start a Stanley Cup best of seven series, who would you want? I don't know, man. I'm leaning towards Tkachuk. I just love his game.
Here's my thing about Patrick Laine, and I've always thought he's a great talent. He can shoot the puck well, does these things. But I saw an interview. I think it was a TSN feature, actually. And he got a new tattoo, right? Was it a lion that he got on the tattoo? Which is, I think, that's the symbol on the Finnish jersey, right? On the Finnish team. And they asked him about this tattoo. And what does it mean? And where does it come from? And he didn't have an answer. And all he said was, I just think it looks cool. And I guess it's part of the Finnish team. And to me, that kind of made me think, what? Because anybody who's great or anybody who's going to be the best at what they do, it seems like everything they do is for a reason and for a purpose. And so anything they put on their body, anything, it's all means something. And it's all very, you know, focused on a greater thing. And this just felt like a guy who just maybe wasn't that dialed in. I got it because it looked cool. I do it just because I don't know, feel like it. Is that kind of the, am I reading into that too much, or is that kind of the guy?
Well, I don't know about that as it relates to, you know, the decision for a tattoo, man. But the one thing that I've always been a little bit bothered by, and this is larger than Patrick Laine, in sports in general, I've got a problem with athletes that you need to compel their best game out of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the one thing. Matthew Tkachuk, you don't need to prod him to get his best. Patrick Laine last year was not applying himself, didn't give you the level of attention to detail necessary to be a good, strong overall player. And it's always bugged me. When you've got to press buttons or beg a player to give you their best, I don't care how naturally gifted they are and this God-given skill that they've got, having to compel great spirit and desire to perform at a high level out of an athlete, that just inherently bugs me. I wouldn't want to be in a foxhole with someone like that. You know, and when you're looking around the locker room, whatever sport that you're playing at, whatever level that you're playing, man, give me the guy that's going to give you every single thing that they've got in those situations. And to me, a guy like Matthew Tkachuk embodies that. And people are hoping, although his level of play is at a higher level this year, people are hoping that Patrick Laine matures into that. And that's always something of concern to me.
Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk's the guy who's going around that locker room shoving the cattle prod into everybody else, not needing it himself. But to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, as they open a practice yesterday, we've learned that Zach Calero's taking first-team reps. You guys on Winnipeg, on the Jets?
No, the Bombers.
Okay, good. We're going to get to the Bombers. As Zach Calero's opens up as taking the first-team reps, Strevler's on the field. Should we read into that already on day one that it's going to be Zach Calero's and we can sign and seal he's going to start on the weekend?
Yeah, I think he's going to start. I think that's pretty much insured at this point in time. And I'm really intrigued to see to what degree imagination is used here. Miller said he practiced, but he said he's not at 100%. And a guy like Chris Streveler, I don't know how many needles or shots of whatever or different colored pills he's going to take, but I would suspect that he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. And I'm just like, what kind of package has Paul LaPolice concocted here for Kolaros and Streveler? I got a feeling that Zach Kolaros, boy, he looked good in that final game of the regular season. And now he's got 2 weeks to become more familiar with that playbook. And it's almost like he's on a mission from God here to a lot of people were wondering and almost hopeful that he wouldn't play anymore because of the head injury concussion situation. But he's trying to reestablish himself as a viable starter in this league. So I love the motivation at work. Boy, he looked poised. It was amazing the amount of time. I know he was in for two snaps earlier this year, but it was really a year since he'd been in a starting position. And he had 2 days of practice with the first team before that last start against Calgary, and he looked really solid. So I think, and he's got a 3-game win streak going on against the Stamps. I think Zach Kolaros is going to have himself a day out in Calgary. I know the weather conditions are questionable, but I can't believe the Bombers are 6.5-point dogs here, man. I think it sets up pretty darn well for them as a team.
Yeah, I really do. Craig, do you want to?
Yeah, hey, this is Craig Smith. crazy, crazy year for the Bombers. Obviously, they were the number one team, and then, you know, obviously Nichols and Strevler and et cetera. Can you see Winnipeg going into Calgary and winning that game?
Absolutely, I can. And, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell has been very successful. I think over the last, there's a big chunk of games where his quarterback rating average is 115. And over the last couple of games, he's been able to throw the pill around pretty good. The good thing is, I guess if you're the Bombers, is they've really, like, Calgary with the number rush game in the CFL and the Bombers with the premier run stop. So they really make Calgary one-dimensional. And I, you know, if Willie Jefferson has himself any sort of a game, if the defensive front does anything there, Calgary's going to score 30-ish points probably, right? Mm-hmm. You would think, depending on the conditions. But, boy, I think the Bombers, when they have – If they have Chris Trevler, Andrew Harrison, the run game of the Bombers had averaged almost 150 yards a game. And now this is complemented with a guy like Zach Collaros. When Matt Nichols was at the helm, that offense was pretty dynamic. I think Zach Collaros is inherently a more productive quarterback throwing the ball than Matt Nichols is. And I think this offense right now, with the complement of Chris Trevler, if he's ready to go, and that run game, I think that they can hang with Calgary. And I think it sets up as a remarkable game. And I don't know how anyone wouldn't think that when in the three games this year, the average margin of victory between these two teams has been 2.3 points. This mm-hmm. could be an all-timer coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, you give me 6.5 points on the Bombers, I'm taking that all day long. Absolutely. Troy, let's put this to bed, the Andrew Harris thing, once and for all, if we can. I don't know if that's ever going to be the case, but he's an all-star. I'm okay with it. I think the media said, okay, we did our thing. He's not representing us for an award, but his season is an all-star season, so he gets that. I'm happy with that. I think it's time to move on, and he's served his time. But where are you at in terms of Andrew Harris being an all-star in the CFL?
Well, I'll just put it out there. I love Andrew Harris. As a guy away from the field and watching him play, man, I just absolutely love him. The way his approach to the game and the way he puts it all out there, I love watching him. But I'd said that, to me, it would do the CFL a world of good to and they should have done this prior to the voting for the awards. The same way they changed a rule mid-season a year or two ago, right? It was the right thing to do, and they should have done it here. I think it's best for the CFL. If you test positive for a PED, then staple to that should be that you are not allowed to be nominated for any of the player awards. And that should include the All-Stars. I know there was a group, Mike O'Shea said that he voted for Andrew Harris to win the Canadian or the most outstanding player. And to me, even if I'm Andrew Harris, I want this to go to bed. I want it to go away. And I know it never will. People will think of it all the time now when his name's mentioned. But had he have been nominated as an outstanding player or the best Canadian, that would have been the debate just gets a bunch of gas thrown on it. And people are talking about Andrew Harrison, PDs, all the rest of it. Not getting nominated, I thought sort of pushed that aside. And there was a group of four, I think, reporters in Winnipeg that made the decision that because he tested positive, he shouldn't be nominated. To me, if I'm the CFL, I want to control that narrative. I don't want to leave it in the hands of the media, whether it's in this market or across Canada. I don't want them to make the moral judgment on it. I want control of that if I'm Randy Ambrosi. I can't believe that the CFL didn't step up prior to the nominations. And even right now, I can't believe they didn't step up prior to the All-Star votes. So it's my understanding it's Canada, the Football Writers of Canada, are the ones that voted on this, along with maybe coaches and some others. But to me, how do you lock him out of the awards and now he's an all-star? Like, doesn't that contradict one another, that he's accepted in one aspect for the awards and the being an all-star is an award in all reality? So mm-hmm. that's kind of kooky to me. And if I was Randy Ambrosi, I would have made it that he was not able to be nominated for an all-star, as an all-star, or as player awards, just because I think it shines best on us as the CFL. And I think deep down, Andrew Harris would probably agree with that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. That's a great point. And finally, the situation around Mike O'Shea, because head coaching vacancies is the topic this week with Rick Campbell out in Ottawa and Devon Claybrooks out in BC. I heard the reports when it comes to Mike O'Shea. You know, he what did he say? He said that he didn't turn down multiple contract offers from the Bombers, which was kind of reported. But what are you hearing out of that situation in terms of the future of the Bombers head coach?
Well, the last I heard was him stating a quote that he wanted to stay in Winnipeg. Now, Mike O'Shea is very good at dealing with the media. And for him to say anything else would be a mistake, right? So I don't know how sincere that would be. It's really hard for me to imagine, with his good buddy Pinball Clemens in Toronto and his son going to school in Guelph and all the roots that he's got in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy, I would be very surprised if he doesn't want to take advantage of that situation in Toronto. But hey, if he wants what they've done here with Wade Miller, Kyle Walters, and Mike O'Shea, what they've done there with that triangle of power here, it's pretty impressive stuff. And I hope Mike O'Shea wants to stay. But in the end, I'm going to be pretty surprised if he does, just because of all of the things that come into play with him going back home to Toronto under Pinball Clemens. That kind of seems like a little bit Disney storybook sort of thing. And I'll be surprised if that ultimately doesn't develop.
Yeah, it really does. There's so many things that could play out. You talk about Rick Campbell maybe in Edmonton or BC, and where does Jason Moss go, and Kahari Jones back to, and there's just, we're going to need to really draw this out on a map to make sense of it all, but it's going to be exciting, and an exciting week for you. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and appreciate you taking some time today, Troy.
All the best, boys. Let's hope we see each other in a couple of weeks.
Wouldn't that be something? I talk about these storylines. Vernon Adams going back in to Hamilton with a chance to go to the Grey Cup, and Zach Caleros coming back in here with a chance to play a playoff game at Mosaic. It's fun.
It would be spectacular, man.
Great stuff. Be well, Troy, and we'll catch you up soon. Troy Westwood joining us from TSN Radio in Winnipeg. We got to take a break, and right, Clark?
Yeah.
Let's break, and we'll be right back. The Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in for Rod Peterson, who's away in Texas. And I'll be away tomorrow in Calgary for the Hardy Cup on Saturday. So I leave right after the show. Derek Myers will be in the big chair with Frenzy tomorrow. And TSN's Farhan Lalji joining us to get deeper into the Devon Claybrook's situation. As we welcome you back in, we've got the Vikings fan, Craig Smith, our director of scouting, joining us in the bunker, and CBC's Peter Mills. Who's your NFL affiliation? Do you have one?
I am a Ravens fan for their defense, but I love Drew Brees, so I also go Saints.
Always been a Ravens fan, or just because they beat the Patriots?
Always been a Ravens fan, but that's also a bonus.
All right. Thursday night or tonight, Oakland at home to the L.A. Chargers, who apparently are staying in L.A. They're not going to London. But a great time to welcome in our NFL insider, Jim Lang, who's out in out east. Jim, you're in the car, but welcome to the program. It's been a wild week, and not only in the NFL, but in the CFL as well, with head coaching vacancies everywhere now and apparently more to come. What's the word right now? Out in Ontario when it comes to the CFL. Oh, I think we have an audio issue with Jim Lang. Maybe we'll try him again or we'll switch to the phone line. We'll figure out how to get Jim Lang here on the air. We got a little bit of an audio issue with you, Jim, if you can hear us right now. But it gives us an opportunity to get back into the Devon Claybrook's talk here for a second. And the BC Lions already have asked for and received permission to speak with Rick Campbell, the now former head coach of the Ottawa Red Blacks, which is interesting. Farhan Lalji, you know, also, you know, alluding to Mark Washington, the Hamilton defensive coordinator, somebody who might potentially be a head coaching candidate. So that's very interesting. Of course, there's the Jason Moss ties to Ed Hervey as well. Rod mentioning on Twitter, he put that out today, or was it yesterday? I can't remember. But Wally Buono, not interested in returning to BC. So that's interesting, though, too, you know, when we talk about that. But who could you see, Craig, stepping in or being somebody that would be a really good fit? Mike Benavides' name has come up, too. But who would be a really good fit with that group?
Benny's been there before. That's a tough question, you know. I think that Rick Campbell could be a good candidate. Mark Washington has head coached. He played. I was there when he played, and then he got into the coaching, defensive coordinator, and there we go again, a defensive coordinator ready to take the next step as a head coach. You know, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to. Those are two excellent candidates, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. And out in Ottawa, the name Danny Maciocia is starting to resurface again. Of course, he took Edmonton to a Grey Cup, and he's had success. And he has a close relationship with Marcel Desjardins. He's currently the head coach of the Montreal Caravan, who are going to play Laval in the Dunsmore Cup on Saturday, which is going to be big. Could Maciocia's name surface in Ottawa? Could you see him coming back to the CFL and having success again?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that he definitely could come back and have success. You know, he's had real good success with Montreal. He's always battling with Laval. 2 years in a row, they went to the Vanier. They won it once. You know, he's a good coach. He's won a Grey Cup before. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of qualifications right there that could definitely come back and be a head coach.
Wayne Grollo saying on the Facebook feed, I would definitely like to see Rick Campbell as a head coach out here in BC, and I'm sure they would. You know, he's an upgrade on a lot of coaches in the CFL, and really, with Dave Dickinson in Calgary, Orlando Steinauer in Hamilton, I mean, 15 wins as a rookie head coach, he's not going anywhere. Mm-mm. And Craig Dickinson in Saskatchewan, outside of those three, there could be movement everywhere else. We don't know that Kahari's going to stay in Montreal.
Yeah.
He could end up somewhere else. But we got Jim Lang back on the line, so let's go back out to Jim. And now we can get your thoughts on what's going on in the CFL and the temperature of Eastern Canada.
Well, the temperature right now, guys, is Mike O'Shea. That's the name that is on many people's minds, is because of the relationship with Mike O'Shea and Pinball Clements. I was the Argos sideline reporter for the radio broadcast in 99 when Mike O'Shea was the outstanding Canadian. He had a year for the ages as a linebacker, both on defense and on special teams. Mike O'Shea and Mike Pinball Clements are very close together. You had mentioned Guelph. Our oldest daughter goes to Guelph University. It's about an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes from BMO Field to Guelph University. And as a parent, knowing that you're that close to a child who's going to university, that's a big selling point. And for the Argos, they need something to kickstart the franchise after the last couple of years. And I could totally see Michael Pinball Clements, who is the ultimate salesperson, putting a full court press on Mike O'Shea to come back home to Ontario. His wife is from Southern Ontario. He's from North Bay. She went to Western. He went to Guelph. He's got a son at Guelph. His deep ties to Southern Ontario. And I know they used to live in the Milton area, which is just west of Mississauga, for a while. So and I would not be surprised to see Mike O'Shea in an Argos uniform as the head coach next year at all, because Mike Pinball Clemens, I think, is going to go after him hard.
Time with you. Patrick Mahomes, he's a full participant for the first time since his knee injury. Any chance that he doesn't play this week against my Titans, who probably can't survive a sixth loss?
There is a chance, depending on how cautious they are with Patrick Mahomes' leg. Now, Patrick Mahomes would be telling the coaching staff, the medical staff, I need to get out there because I need to get my timing back for the postseason. They face a legitimate threat in the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. You alluded to the Ravens, their win over the Patriots. That opened a lot of eyes to the National Football League, how legit John Harbaugh and the Ravens are with Lamar Jackson, a quarterback, and Patrick Mahomes wants to get back in a rhythm with Travis Kelce and that Chiefs offense and get them ready for the postseason. As good as the Patriots are, losing to the Ravens makes people realize that the AFC is wide open, mm-hmm. and it is in a lot of ways. And if you are hot from U.S. Thanksgiving on at the end of November, just after the Grey Cup into that home stretch, there's no reason not to think that you are going to be the team that you want. You're the top three or four contenders to run the table and end up at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And somebody might be able to use a guy like Dez Bryant, who's now says he's healthy, and he put out on Twitter, I'm not trying to go nowhere and be a starter on a team. I want to contribute because I know I will be able to. I'm feeling good. In 2 weeks, I'm going to reach out to teams and see what happens. Let's go. That happened. That was tweeted yesterday. Do you see Dez Bryant resurfacing in the NFL this season?
It's possible. I mean, again, it's going to be a team thinking, are we that desperate at receiver? We need to drop a guy in there with five or six weeks to go in the regular season. Hope he can understand some basic concepts of our offense and fit into the team and the team culture. That's possible. A lot of teams get stuck, though. There is a salary cap in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. How much can they afford to pay him? And if they're saying, look, Dez, we can only pay you this much money because of cap situation, and he decides that's not enough, then it's a moot point. So he will have to bite the bullet and maybe take a lot less money than he thinks he deserves or is worthy of, because teams simply won't have the money to spend on him. Because especially this late in the season, teams are cycling through players a ton with the weekly injury list. That is a major concern for management and front office personnel.
Yeah, it is. So that'll be interesting to watch. We'll be keeping our eyes out for that. Troy Aikman's tweet over the weekend got a lot of people talking, and something I've been waiting all week to talk to you about. Troy Aikman, the Hall of Fame quarterback and now a Fox analyst, says our league, the NFL, has a lot to address this offseason as consumer confidence continues to wane. What's he talking about and referring to specifically?
Well, to me, it goes back to officiating and the quality, playing quality games. And he also is taking a very veiled shot. About five or six teams in the NFL have basically not even trying. They have been tanking since September. We're into November, and they have no interest in winning games. Mm-hmm. And so the competition and quality of play from week to week, there's only a handful of games you would say, I really want to watch that game. There's been a lot of bad football play this year in the NFL. There's jokes about the Jets and the Dolphins. The Giants have a black cat running the field, and they allow the Cowboys to score 34 points. No, it's laughable stuff like that week after week, but especially for Troy, the NFL has to take a look at the draft lottery. The draft lottery addressed a lot of problems in the NBA and the NHL that if you lose and you tank, that doesn't mean you're going to get the number one pick overall in the next year's draft, because other teams that may have not tried to lose but had injuries and lost in a bunch of games, they might jump over you and get that first pick. So it's not a sure thing if you go 0-16 you're going to get the first pick in the draft. And I'm not sure why the NFL's dragging their heels on this, because there is at least a half dozen teams in the NFL at this point of the season, they don't care if they win the rest of the way. They're saying, we might as well keep losing, and we don't care what happens or what the fans or media think, because we want the best pick, best possible in next year's NFL draft. So without a draft lottery, there's nothing to stop them from doing that.
You got to bottom out to turn things around, and that's the way they see it. Two quick ones for you here. The first, Antonio Brown, it says, set to meet with the NFL next week. What's going to come out of that? Is there any chance that we see him again this season?
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
I really, doubt it. I mean, it's the kind of thing he's going to need. A team would say, I might take a flyer on him, get him at a decent team-friendly price, not the kind of money he thinks he was making before in Pittsburgh or what he was going to make in Oakland, and see if he can fit in. Will he wear the right helmet? Will they wear the right shoes? Will he be recording phone calls of the coach and releasing it on social media? I mean, that is all concerns for teams. Mm-hmm. There's a reason certain teams win at a consistent basis, and they're not asking players to be robots, but they're asking them to be professionals. They're being paid to do that and to do some of the things that Antonio Brown did. He has to earn the trust back for players, coaches, and front office and GM personnel across the NFL. And that's going to take an offseason that he's going to have to sell himself to teams to say, hey, forget about last year. I'm going to fit in. I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to understand the way we're doing things. And I'm not going to record phone calls from the coach and put it on Instagram.
And finally, the Thursday nighter tonight, Oakland at home to the L.A. Chargers. Not the London Chargers. They're apparently not going. That's what we're hearing, and that's what they're saying. We're not going. But tonight, two teams, Oakland at 4-4, L.A. at 4-5, two teams that really need a win to, you know, join that playoff picture.
Well, they're bubble wildcard teams in the NFL. There's no question. And the Chargers, you alluded to, like, their problems as a franchise. Where's their home? L.A. is a franchise, is a city, is a community, and they don't really want them. L.A. considers the Rams their team, not the Chargers. The Chargers are playing out of a soccer facility. Visiting teams end up getting more fans than the Chargers. San Diego as a city does not have the county money or city money, and they're not going to spend the money to build them a stadium. London basically is the Jacksonville Jaguars territory. Shad Khan and the Jaguars have spent big money and big time to lay a foundation that's their city and that's their franchise. So it's an interesting year for the Chargers because they look really good beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers last week. And I think they deserve some credit for that victory. But to be a team without a real home and a true fan base, mm-hmm. for all the problems with Oakland, at least you know the Raiders in the black hole, they're legit Raider fans in Oakland. But for San Diego, it has to be tough on those players to not really know for your friends and your family and your kids where exactly you're going to play next year or the year after. And that's a real stress on the coaching staff and the players trying to block that out week after week and just play. And then afterwards get peppered with questions about where do you think you guys are going to play this year? Because LA doesn't want you.
Pete, you got one?
Yeah, Jim, Peter Mills here. Great stuff as always. I'm wondering, I'm going to make a lot of my friends angry who are Buffalo Bills fans, but obviously the great record so far, but should we be taking them seriously?
Peter, the Bills Mafia, for all their jumping off the RVs and on the tables and all the cake stands they do, they should be taking seriously. Sean McDermott has done something that had been missing in Buffalo for a while. He has reestablished a winning culture within the team and the locker room and the franchise. Like, this is how we do things. This is how we play. This is how we act. They have complete faith in Josh Allen as quarterback. And one of the unsung heroes of that team is Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator. He was a longtime defensive coordinator, did not work out as a head coach, and is back doing what he does best, and that's teach a defense and coach a defense. And that is one of the great things about the Bills is their defense ability to hold teams to a reasonable amount of yards and points, get the ball back in the hands of the offense. And this time of year, with the weather it is in Southern Ontario and Western New York, from here on in, playing in Buffalo, that's a big home field advantage for the Bills. That Ralph Wilson Stadium, New Era Field, they call it, in Orchard Park, New York. The wind howls through there. They get wind off Lake Erie and snow off Lake Erie and Lake Ontario. Nobody wants to go there. It's not a fun place. It's a distinct home field advantage for the Bills. They've got a team to play in bad weather like that. They can run the ball. They can play tight defense. They can play high percentage passing game and special teams. And the Bills definitely, unless they suffer some catastrophic injuries in the second half of the season, there's no reason why they're not going to be at least a wild card team in the National Football League in the AFC.
Well, it'd be fun. I love seeing that team in the playoffs. They're exciting. Jim, appreciate this as always. All the best, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Go Leafs, go. See you, boys.
Yes. Great. I'm glad we got that in there. Everybody says they're struggling. They're above 500. They're in the playoffs. Nothing to panic about yet. Jim Lang joining us on the video chat. Yeah, that's great. We didn't need a Vikings update from because you guys are doing so well anyway. I mean, it's all in perspective compared to the Titans, compared to some other teams. I think you guys are okay.
They're a good team. They've got loads of talent. there's something missing though, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, they had an opportunity to go into Kansas City without Patrick. I mean, Moore played very well. He did a good job, and but they went in there and they got to win those games. So it's tough, but you know, I've been a Viking fan since the 60s. I've been disappointed many, many years. So.
You and me both. Not so long with the Titans, but the disappointments are still up there.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on a Thursday morning. Out at least in the Central Time Zone, it's still morning for another 10 minutes or so, and we got a little bit more here on the show. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and you can listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1%, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. We're getting close to the end of our time. One final segment with Craig and Peter, who are in the bunker here today. And then we'll have a short overtime and set you up for tomorrow's show. So that's still what's on tap here right now. It's a big weekend for football. The CFL into the East and West semifinals will start on Sunday at noon Central Time with the Eastern semifinal, which is Montreal at home to Edmonton. And then at 3:30. Central Time, it is Calgary home to Winnipeg. But in the Canadian Junior Football League, the Saskatoon Hilltops are going for another win.
It's next week, though, I believe, is it not?
The Hilltops is next week, yes. Yeah. There's another week before their game. Langley Rams, who they'll play in the Canadian Bowl.
Rematch from last year.
Yeah, so that's exciting. So looking forward to that coming up in a week. On Saturday at 1 o'clock, Central Time, so Saskatchewan time. The Wynyard Golden Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Go Wynyard. They're playing Hafford in the six-man final, so I want to get that out there to the folks in Wynyard. Go Bears. I know Coach Mo has been doing all kinds of work in the snow, brushing it off, painting the lines, coordinating volunteers, 50-50 tickets, all that stuff, big breakfast for the guys in
Fantastic.
The morning. So that's awesome. Wish I could be there, but I'll be in Calgary for the Hardy Cup. And that's happening in Calgary, 1 o'clock Mountain Time, Saturday, across the Canada West Network, Canada West TV, and then SaskTel, Bell MTS, and TELUS Optik TV. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Calgary, looking to avenge last year's big surprising loss to the Huskies, but the Huskies now they're not a surprise team anymore. Not they're a top all. Team in the country. Adam Mackart's a Heck Crichton favorite. He's been so good.
Unreal.
Oh, so good to watch. But Calgary's always good, too, and they're still a great team. Yeah. But they almost never got here, Craig. You were watching that game.
Oh, absolutely.
Came right down to the wire against Brian Doby and his Manitoba Bisons.
Yeah, and they went for two. They went for the win. And I thought that was a good choice. And they were so close in completing that slant to dice. And if they do that, they're playing in the Hardy Cup. So, I mean, what a comeback. What a
I
game.
Know.
Three returns for touchdowns. I mean, it's just a crazy thing.
Want to get this into, we'll start here. There's a great event coming up. Our friends, the Canadian Red Cross, we want to get this out there and help them out. It's the Power of Humanity Awards reception. It's at the Ramada Plaza in Regina. It's happening tomorrow night. John Hopkins will receive the 2019 Regina Humanitarian of the Year Award for his dedication to helping others by promoting health and building peace through reconciliation. So tickets are $75, or you can buy a bundle of eight for $550, so get a little bit of a discount, and get yours redcross.ca/Regina POH19. Okay? Redcross.ca/Regina POH19 or by calling 306-721-1600. That's 306-721-1600. Redcross.ca and Power of Humanity Awards reception tomorrow night. Get your tickets and support them. Can you pull up the contract stuff again, or is that too far gone? Lamar Durant re-signed just now. We got this from TSN's Farhan Lalji, the receiver, the Canadian receiver, re-signing in BC. $192,500 a year, I believe, was the contract. It's a two-year deal. $192,500 for year one and $200,000 in year two. He also did not need to undergo surgery for the foot injury that ended his season, so the healing process has gone very well for Lamar Durant. So there we go. Guys, any final thoughts before we let you go? What's up for the weekend?
It's going to be a great weekend of watching football. That's the nice part about not having to cover the Riders this weekend, is I get to enjoy all the Huskies-Dinos game. I get to enjoy all the CFL playoffs on Sunday. And, of course, then maybe we'll switch over to the NFL after that.
You got another Meet the Riders coming?
I'm going to have another Meet the Riders. Check out the podcast.
Do we know who?
I'm not going to tell you who yet, but there'll be hopefully a couple more episodes, especially if they get the Grey Cup. There'll be a few more. Good. And shout out to the B-Jam Saints, Saskatoon City Champions. That's right.
There you go. Where can they find the podcast?
CBC Podcast or on iTunes. Just search Meet the Riders.
Okay.
Great weekend of football. I can hardly wait. I'll be sitting on my fat butt watching you on the sidelines freezing. And I think that the Saskatchewan Huskies will come with a victory. Mackert running the football. Too bad Claussen got hurt. I mean, that's a big loss, but still I think Huskies are going to win. I think that the Calgary Stampeders are going to pull it off, and of course Montreal. But who knows? The interesting thing about this year's playoffs, all those teams, maybe not so much Edmonton, but all those teams you could pick to be Grey Cup teams. And it's just going to be a fun weekend of football. I can hardly wait.
Great. Paul Druin has entered the building. First time we've seen him up here in a long time. Looking forward to this. Yeah. So, guys.
He's a traveling man.
He's a traveling man. We all are. Appreciate this, guys. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having
me.
All right. We've got an overtime segment next. It's going to be a short one, but we got the overtime segment for Emerald Water. On the other side, the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln.
with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back. The overtime segment is for Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. Darren Dupont in with you here. And it's been a great show. Thanks to Kelly Rempel, the Silver Fox, Craig Smith, our director of scouting, and CBC's Peter Mills for joining me in studio. Sean Lemon was on the video chat with a great insight into this weekend's CFL semifinal games. And also Troy Westwood from TSN in Winnipeg. And our NFL insider Jim Lang joining us just not so long ago here in Hour 2. And for the first time ever, you guys get to see Paul, PD, from Paul's chair.
Good morning.
I can't believe that, you know, Rod doesn't get to do this for the first time, but...
You know what? I think we're better at this than he is anyway. I hope he's watching from somewhere. Him and Cindy are watching from Texas.
Yes, they were watching earlier on in the show, and Rod was chiming in. It was a weird thing that happened with Rod and I this morning. He messaged me this morning. He texted me at 7:30, and he says, "One what?" with a question mark. Like, "One what?" And I'm okay. Like, and I sent back a question mark. What are you talking about? He's like, "You sent me at 3:16 in the morning. I'll send you one tonight." And I look back. I'm like, "No, I didn't. I was fast asleep." And I screenshotted our message history and sent it to him. And then he screenshotted his message of me and him. And at 3:16 in the morning,
sure enough, message from Darren.
It says a message from me.
There's Tyler. Good
morning. I have no idea how that happened.
Well, I think you work all the time, buddy, so that's what I'm counting on as the guy who runs this show. We're counting on you all the time being working and being available to Rod at any given moment of the time or day. Because he is Beyonce. You realize that, right?
He is Beyonce.
I'm the one that termed that he is Beyonce.
He is.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree with me.
I can believe that I was like subconscious. I was up at 3:00 working.
Always serving.
But what I don't know is what am I supposed to send him tonight? That I don't know.
I think you guys are good friends and you've been on the road together, so I'm sure you'll think of something quite appropriate to send him in whatever time you deem fit.
Exactly. So you've been away with the Rob Nash tour.
I have.
It's heard
awesome.
Bits and pieces on this show about the tour being mentioned, but it's really cool. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a really great experience. So Rob is, he was a recording artist, young recording artist, who went through a lot of adversity in his life and decided to take his adversity and channel it into a brand new show. He was on the road for a number of years. He did a lot of small dates. Last year, I believe he toured 138 schools across Western Canada and did a small show. Screen, couple of PA speakers would show up, do his deal, and talk about sort of his fall and then rise and how he overcame a lot of adversity. And he has a message that really clicks with a lot of younger kids. So our tour is 10:30 in the morning. We have a show at 10:30 and we usually roll till about noon. Rob comes out. We play 5 rock and roll songs. He talks about some bad things that have happened to him, how he's overcome it. And he also gives the kids some hints about how to survive. So when only, you know, as great as the pain is, the strength is that much better. So we're very fortunate to be along now on the super tour with him. We've got 22 dates between now and the end of 2020. I didn't think at 55 I'm going back out on 56 and I'm going back out on the road again, but I'm having a great time and it's a great message and I love seeing the kids. So it's cool.
But you're doing it right. You're taking Lori out with you. And
oh yeah, for
you guys
sure.
Get to tour the country together.
That's right. Oh, you know, we go out. We don't have a bus or anything, but we do have really good WestJet seats and I'm very thankful to WestJet for all of their support for us. And we like being away and of course we miss being the show. We miss the show every day, but we do watch. I mean, I chime in all the time that we're watching the show remotely. And by the way, you're doing a great job this week, so I appreciate you filling in.
Well, it feels good that you're back because all week long, your chair has been empty. Rod hasn't been here, and we know how much Rod brightens and livens this place.
Yeah, he's a real light in the room, that's for sure.
So Mike Abumetric walks in early in the week, and he's like, Is what's going on? It's so quiet in here. It's so dead. You know, we're not getting together.
Yeah, there's no smarm in the room. You don't have me and Rod, there's not a lot of smarm in the room.
We're missing that. What does Rod say? The chitzpah.
The chitzpah. That's not happening. And I appreciate Mike's full of chitzpah, usually.
Yeah, in a big way.
In a big way.
Absolutely, he is. Good stuff. What else do you got? Anything else before we go?
Nothing. We were in Winnipeg. We had a...
I went to the Jets game.
Actually, I went to my very first Jets game at the MTS Center, and I'm just going to give a big shout out to... I happen to go with our technical producer for the Regina Pats and a bunch of other guys from Night Staging. And we sat through the Jets game, and getting into the third period, it was kind of lackluster, not a lot of shots. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a great game overall. Obviously, the Jets lost in the shootout. But here's what I know for sure. The Regina Pats have a better in-venue experience than the Winnipeg Jets do.
Whoa.
I found it pretty flat. I love, you know, I'm a big supporter of the Jets. I thought I was ready to be wowed. I was underwhelmed. So, but the hockey was great. I really wanted to see Line A play. I wanted to see what the Jets could. And I also wanted to see PK Subban, which is a big deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
But Winnipeg booed every time he was on the ice or touched the puck. It was deafening,
wow.
Which is kind of a cool part of the experience.
That's cool. Good to know. And you and your team do a great job with that, with the in-venue experience.
Thank you.
At the
appreciate
Bats games.
That. Yep.
I mean, and that's not just you pumping your own tires saying it's better.
No.
It's actually better.
I think we have a show that I was much more involved in when Clark was actually with the Pats, and now Kellen, who's now running the Pats crew. It's still a great show, but I go back to when we had the Memorial Cup run and the type of... The energy in the room for the Regina Pats was far superior than it was for the Winnipeg Jets.
Unbelievable.
So it was a ton of fun, though, and thanks for mentioning that.
I appreciate it. We're going to wrap up the week tomorrow. I'm away. Rod's still away. So Derek Myers, the Duke, is going to be in this chair hosting. It's going to be a great show, actually. So he's picking up Frenzy, I believe, either him or our Tyler Gross. Our sales guy's going to pick him up. So Frenzy will be in here getting ready for CFL semifinals in the playoffs. Ryder, great. BC Lions, great. Jason Claremont will be in studio as well. Calgary Flames color commentator Peter Labardius will be along with TSN's Farhan Lalji and Calgary Stampeders blogger Ryan Ballantyne. He'll go head-to-head with Frenzy. That's all coming up tomorrow to wrap up a week, and then Rod and I will be back in studio with you on Tuesday. So, So for everybody that's watched today, thank you for watching, and for all the latest, you can visit our Facebook page, Twitter account, or Instagram page, at The Rod Peterson Show, and of course, for the very latest, and to watch the show, you can see it at rodpeterson.com, or here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.